So, the last personality, or the first personality, is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I again request you to go back to the beginning where we learned that it is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who expands himself into the spiritual masters, the Guru Parampara, into the living entity in the role of devotee, Srivast Thakur. It's the Lord who expands himself into the Lord's incarnations, which are taken care of by Advaita Acharya. It's the same Lord who is coming as Nityananda Prabhu, as his plenary portions, and it's the same Lord who comes as Gadadhar Prabhu, his internal energy. Now the primeval Lord himself, the origin, who is manifesting in all these features, you could say aspects, no? He is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Prabhupada had written, Sri Krishna is not alone, but exists with all his manifestations as described by Ramanujacharya. Everything together is God. I was trying to understand this. How can Krishna come in these five aspects, you know? And then I remembered how Prabhupada had published a little book, God in Five Features. What is a feature? The word feature means a little bit like a function. I have, just as in a very simple way explained, I have an alarm clock. It has a few functions. First, it's a time function. Then I can put the date on it. Then there is a stopwatch in it. That's a feature. And then there is a loud wake-up call. And then there is a soft ping, ping, ping. I never hear the soft one, so I always need the loud one. It's all the same clock. But it has different features, different things it can do. So it's all Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he appears in these different features, the living entity, as the incarnations, as the internal energy, as the plenary portion. This is a little bit something which helps me to understand this divine secret, but ultimately, Prabhu's, it's very incomprehensible. That's an English word. You can't understand it very easily. So, I want to end my seminar by explaining you a little bit the mood or the heartbeat of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's gift of bhakti. And I believe in order to understand this heartbeat, you have to go to something very significant which happened in the life of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. I would like to give you an example of Gandhi's non-violent movement. Why did Gandhi become the national hero of India who liberated India from the British rule? You must know there was something which happened to him in his young days when he lived in Phoenix, South Africa, right? I was very interested in this, and I visited Phoenix, and I visited his ashram, the Gandhi ashram. See, once Gandhi, who was a young Indian lawyer, had an experience which made him into a freedom fighter. You must know that many Indians had been invited from India to South Africa to help on the sugar plantains. And the British had ruled South Africa, and they had made a big business, sugar business, by growing the sugar. And they tried with the African workers, but the African workers somehow didn't work so nicely. Biochemical communication did not work. And the British had bad experiences with the Africans. So they invited from another of their colony, India, the Indians. That's why today in South Africa you have a tremendous Indian community there. I mean, a real big Indian force. And of course they needed also lawyers and everything else for the Indian community. So Gandhi was one of them. So at that time, in South Africa, there was this rule of apartheid that meant only the white people could use the facilities like trains and other things, cinemas, and if they needed it, they could throw out all the colored people, that means Africans and Indians. So once Gandhi was riding on a train, I think from Phoenix to Johannesburg, and he was on the train, and he was in a compartment which was empty because otherwise the train was full. And then the conductor came in and saw that he was in a compartment which was meant for white people and threw him out somewhere out of the train, right on the they were not sentimental at that time. They threw him on the train station, and he was pained, and he was sitting there, and he also felt this is not right. Why should someone on the basis of his skin be on the color of the skin be treated so cruelly? And then he said, I'm going to throw the British out. I'm going to do this. And I will go to India, where they are extremely strong, my homeland, and I will there fight with them in a non-violent way and will throw them out. And he made up all his strategies to take the Indians, to take the British out, who were ruling really cruelly and very inhumanly Africa and also India. So if you want to understand why Gandhi was so much against the British and why he put his life, you know, to this mission, then you have to go to Phoenix, to that instant where he himself was a victim of the impossible rule of the British people. So if you want to understand Gauranga Mahaprabhu's mission, you have to come to a particular incident in his life which has totally shaped his mission. And this incident, many Vaishnavas say, is the Kanai Natashala incident. You know, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had gone to Gaya, had taken the initiation into the Gopal Mantra. He returned to Navadvip afterwards, and he was a changed man. Vrindavan Das Thakur hesitates to describe. He says, I'm really unable to describe the pastimes of the Lord. But still I try. And then he gives this description of how Mahaprabhu looked. It's an extremely beautiful description. The figure of the Lord is immersed in deep joy as he chants. He trembles in every limb. Even 100 persons cannot hold him still. Hundreds of streams of tears flow from his eyes. His body looks like a golden jackfruit through the intensity of the horripilation. You know, a jackfruit has these little spikes, a little, these little bumps, you could say, which are covering the fruit. So Lord Chaitanya had this goose pimples, the little bumps all over his body. He indulges in loud laughter at short intervals, and he does so many other jokes. He often falls down unconscious because of so much joy. Sometimes he's unconscious for a full quarter of the day. It's 6 hours. 6 hours he lies there and is unconscious. Sometimes he stands for 6 hours, not moving, and he has an air flute, you know, flute of air in his hand. Even when he is conscious, he does not talk about anything else than about Krishna. Sometimes he shouts out, and this deafens the ears of the atheists. But if the devotees hear his loud shouts, they are liberated from the mental platform. All the limbs sometimes appear like a marble column. Then the same limbs become as soft and tender as butter. So when the Lord came back from Kanainatashala, he was clearly in love. He was an ecstatic personality. And he would always chant one verse from the Krishna Kanamrita. You must know the Krishna Kanamrita is a book which Bilva Mangala composed on his way from South India to Vrindavan. He was dancing and he was in ecstasy and he was spontaneously reciting these verses, and his companions wrote these verses down, and that became a book of ecstasy, the book Sri Krishna Kanamrita. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu liked to chant one verse. Would you like to hear this verse? Why?
Amunyadanyani dinantarani hare tvadalokanam antarena anatabandhu karunaika sindhu hahanta hanta katam nayami.
O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, O Friend of the Helpless, you are the only ocean of mercy. Because I have not met you, my inauspicious days and nights have become unbearable. I do not know how I shall pass the time. This is expressed by Radharani. She says, O friend of the helpless, you have gone to Mathura. You are an only ocean of mercy. But please know, since you have left me, I cannot live. Days and nights pass by, but they are unbearable. Don't know how long I can manage to live. So this is the verse which Gauranga Mahaprabhu chanted. And, you know, as I said, when he came to Navadvip, he first met his relatives and just gave a geographical description. You know, we walked down the Ganga and there were these trees and we saw the dolphins and we visited Brahmanas and we came to Gaya and there we saw a footprint and we did visit the 12 holy spots in Gaya. And he talked like this. But then, the next morning, as I said, he had a meeting with the devotees. Where? In the house of Shuklambara. Yes. And there he said something else. He said, while returning from Gaya, I came to the village named Kanai Natashala. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes how you can go there by train. You have to go to Talajati, that village, by using the Bahava loop line of the Eastern Railway, which starts at the Horao station. And he describes that there are footprints of Radha and Krishna. And since time immemorial, it is understood that this is Gupta Vrindavan, hidden Vrindavan. When you go now to Kanai Natashala, you will find the villages in the surrounding area are called Mathura, Belvan, Lohavan, all names of villages in in Vrindavan. And Lord Chaitanya, he said, when I swam over the Ganga, I came to that village, the Krishna village. And there, listen to this, it's so beautiful. I saw a beautiful boy, blackish, like a tamal tree. His enchanting curly hair was decorated with fresh gunja. His head was decorated with a colorful peacock feather. And the jewels on his body were so bright that I could not see him properly. Oh, he held a flute in his hand. And his lotus feet were adorned with attractive ankle bells. Then he describes he was decorated all over with jeweled ornaments. His chest had the mark of Sri Vatsa. That's like a curl of hair. There was a Kostuba gem and so many necklaces. How can I describe the manner in which he wore his yellow garments? He had sharp-shaped earrings. He smiled at me as he came in my direction. Then he embraced me. I was electrified. But then he ran away. When Lord Chaitanya said, he ran away, then Lord Chaitanya looked as if he had just lost the most valuable of all things. He looked so absolutely poor. And as he went deeper into this feeling of having lost Krishna, who had embraced him and then ran away, he came into the ocean of Vipralamba and then fainted. Peng. The devotees all quickly picked him up and chanted, Krishna, Krishna, and they brushed the dust from his body. Now, this reminds us of something which is described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. There, Gop Kumar, who lived in Braj, fainted one day with longings to meet Krishna. And then Krishna came to him and took his cool lotus hand, it's very cool, his hand, and wiped the dust from Gop Kumar's body. And then the fragrance from Krishna's wonderful body, which smells so nice, entered the nose of Gokumar, who was still unconscious, and all of a sudden he was stirred into consciousness. He woke up. He looked up, and he could understand that Krishna had personally, with his lotus hand, wiped the dust from his body, and he saw Krishna's lotus face just above him, and he quickly jumped up. Then, in great love, he tried to catch Krishna, because Krishna, who saw that Gokumar was again in consciousness, started to move backwards and smiled. Gokumar tried to run forward to catch a little from his splendid yellow cloth, you know, to capture him. But he grabbed into the air. Then Krishna smiled at him and blew on his flute and made him even more mad in love of Godhead. Then playfully he danced a little and then went behind Gopkumar. Gopkumar tried to catch him, and when he ran to catch Krishna, he didn't see any longer where he was and fell into the Yamuna. And then he went through the current of the Yamuna, through a very mystical pathway. He passed by the planets, he went through Vaikuntha, and he finally arrived in Goloka Dham. So the devotees had heard how Lord Chaitanya had described how Krishna appeared and then disappeared before him, and they quickly, when he fainted, they quickly picked him up and brushed the dust from his body. And then they, then Lord Chaitanya came to his consciousness. He looked at them and he asked, "Where is Krishna?" He again asked the same question. "Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna?" This is what he asked. After a while, he became extremely humble. The devotees saw, "My God, he's so ecstatic, he really has changed. We are so blessed," they said. "You have come into our association now. For one who is in your association, what is the value of even going to Vaikuntha? It's better than in Vaikuntha to be with you. When we are with you, we also become full of devotion. Therefore, we have one desire." Listen to this desire. All the devotees said, "We are dependent on you. You are our natural leader. Please lead us in kirtan. Our bodies are burning from the fiery words of these foolish atheists who criticize us. Please relieve us with the cool waters of your love." So Mahaprabhu pacified everyone and said, "All right, we will start the Sankirtan movement." And from that moment, he went back to his house, and he looked like a Mata Singha. Mata Singha heißt a mad lion. It is very important, this word Singha, lion, is a word which is usually used either for a Kshatriya king, whom no one can, you know, Gopal Singh, Gopal this, Singh, always Singh lion, or it is used here for Gauranga Mahaprabhu when he started his Sankirtan devotee, the Sankirtan movement. No one can resist the attack of a lion. Do you know this? When the lion is on the attack, there's only one word which makes sense. Run. Everything else is disappearing. I once, when I was in South Africa, I spoke with the Zulus. Zulus are the very good warriors, very tall. They know also how to dance quite beautifully. And I asked, what do you do when a lion comes to your village? They said, throw all the spears at him and then run. Run. Just run. He will capture a few and kill a few, but you can pray that it's not you. There is nothing you can do with a mad lion, with an angry lion. It's nothing. They are just so angry. It's just... Have you ever seen a lion just waking up from sleep? I did this one time and I will never do it again. The lion looked into my face and it was clear I was food for him. And I did not look at him any longer. I just drove Viva in a car and I said, gas, fast, please, oh, boom. He ran. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a Gaura Singha. He is so powerful, he can overwhelm everyone. Even the atheists try to run away from him. It's described like this. But he gets them anyways. Gauranga in his Sangatan mood is very, very, very... thing. There's a beautiful song by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur about... when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya. Oh, Gadadha! This is the song. I saw the most extraordinary person on the road from Gaya. His form was so beautiful. And he roared just like a thundercloud. Thundercloud and lion, same thing. His eyes rained tears, as if he was a rain cloud. And he rolled on the ground. His voice was full with the ecstasy of love of God. All glories to that Lord, the son of Mother Sachi. It's a beautiful song. It has 9 verses which describe Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he returned. This is Lord Chaitanya's mission. It is explained in this event. He only had one mission in his mind. Where is Krishna? If you want to understand the Chaitanya Bhakti, you only need to understand one sentence. Where is Krishna? This is the mood of the Chaitanya Bhakti. For this goal, to find Krishna, The Vaishnavas in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement are renouncing the world because the Krishna is not to be found in material objects of sense gratification. To find Krishna, these devotees become homeless beggars who only want to find the treasure of the heart, Sri Krishna. Srimati Radharani or Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had the same mood which Radharani had when Krishna had gone from Vrindavan. She only wanted to see Krishna, and Radha's lamentation was so big that even stones, hard stones, melted. You know, it was so emotional. Where is Krishna? When the stones heard this, bloop, they became water and melted. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sit on the ground sometimes and mark the ground with his finger and write down Krishna, Krishna, Krishna with his hand. My dear devotees, it is this love which we need to return to Krishna. We have in some ways lost Krishna. He's no longer prominent in our mind. And the only way to come back to Krishna is to sincerely start your search expedition. My dear devotees, you are staying in Ljubljana, and you stay in Zagreb, and you stay in Sarajevo. That's not where you should be. You should be on an expedition. Are you not a little an adventurist, Kripa Palaka? You know, why are you staying somewhere and forgetting your expedition? You are meant to find a treasure. Don't stay somewhere. Especially dangerous places to stay for devotees are material attachment. Another dangerous place is pride, or something like I'm the biggest devotee. No, you should be moving. Move, go on your expedition. Mahaprabhu would say, Ha Krishna Pranadana, Ha Padma Lochan. I'm a terrible singer, I know. Ha ha Divya Sadguna Sagara, Ha ha Syama Sundara, Ha ha Pitambara Dhara, Ha ha Rasa Vilasa Nagara. Alas, where is my Krishna, the treasure of my life? Where is the lotus-eyed one? Where is the divine ocean of transcendental qualities? Alas! Alas means ovaya. Where is the beautiful blackish youth dressed in yellow garments? Where is the hero of the rasa dance? Where shall I go? Where can I find you? Please tell me. Anyone here, tell me. I shall go. Speaking in this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began running. You all know, once Mahaprabhu, he was always running. He ran to the sand dune because he had seen a scene there. He had seen how Radha and Krishna went into a cave and how some of the gopis engaged him to pick flowers to enhance the pastimes of the divine couple. He ran and ran and ran, and all the devotees ran behind him, even this old Brahmananda Puri with a stick. Not so fast, please! Came hobbling behind them. And then the devotees found Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He had just fallen down, and they chanted Hare Krishna. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened his eyes and said, What do you do here? I was just going to Krishna. Where am I? Then he looked around. Oh, you have brought me back. You have taken me away from Govardhan. You have taken me away from Vrindavan. Not good. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu even went through three walls. No one could catch him. Nothing could catch him. No one knows up till now how did he come through the locked doors. How did he go through the walls? He wanted to find Krishna. So when you are with Chaitanya Bhakti, you have to see how to understand this. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once gave one description how we can understand him. Would you like to hear this description? How do we say in Slovenian beggar? Braj? Beraj, not braj, beraj. Braj is much better. A beraj. He said that his mind had become a beraj, a beggar. And he said that this mind was like a yogi beggar. Have you seen yogi beggars? They're very impressive. And they come before your door and they say, I'm hungry. And you, because they are so impressive, you just have to give them something. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described his own mood of separation with this ontology. He said, the yogi mind of, no, my mind is like a yogi beggar. I'm dressed in a blanket of anxiety. How do we say anxiety? Yes, that's correct. My mind is dressed in anxiety. It means he's anxious. The only words which the yogi of my mind can speak is, Ha Krishna, Ha Krishna. The yogi of my mind has a turban of greed. He wears bangles of distress. Oh, I've not found Krishna. The yogi of my mind is thin. He always reads poetry and descriptions of Lord Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. The yogi of my mind has left my body with his 10 disciples. What are the 10 disciples of the mind? The senses, correct. The mind says, eat, and then the disciple runs. And the yesik, yesik means tongue, you know. So, the yogi of my mind has left with his 10 disciples the home of the body. And with it, this yogi has left the great treasure of material enjoyment. The mind and his disciples are no longer interested in material sense gratification. So where does this yogi of the mind go? He goes begging with all of his disciples for the remnants of Krishna's qualities, beauty, sweetness, aroma, the flute song and the touch of his body. Who, tell me, devotees, who relishes Krishna's qualities and beauties and the sweetness? Radharani and the gopis. They are always with Krishna. They see Krishna's beauty. They smell Krishna. In this, you know, it's just like this. If I'm hungry, I would go to Braj Kishore because I know he likes to eat, and I would go and knock in Trebelnje on his door, and I would get some bread, most probably. So, if you want to have Krishna's qualities of beauty, you need to go to those who eat this. Just like if you want to have bread, you need to go to the bread eaters. No? So, the yogi of my mind runs to the gopis who are always relishing Krishna. Sweetness, his aroma, his flute sound, the touch of the body, and so on. And then he says, the mystic yogi of my mind went into the garden where Krishna enjoys his pastimes. It sat down in mystic trance, and then I lost vision of Krishna. It's a beautiful it's mystical poesy, really, which you hear. Here it's a very nice analogy which describes the mind as begging for Krishna's form, Krishna's beauty, Krishna's flute song from his devotees. So this is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to do. This is what he came to give, really, the highest form of love which the devotees, which the gopis taste in the kingdom of love, where Krishna is the only king of love. That is his wonderful personality. And what is so nice with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is that, see, he said that this process, or to relish this, is possible through loud chanting of the holy names. That's his way. That everyone can do. Yesterday we heard Prabhupada saying that Lord Chaitanya made tigers and deers dance in Yarikanda. Did you hear? And then he said, of course, we better don't take such a risk to make the tigers chant. As I said, when you are next to a wild cat like a lion or a tiger, you just, there's only one word for you, run. So it's risky to be next to them. But Lord Chaitanya could do that. He saw once a tiger on the footpath, and he just kicked him up and said, "You're sleeping? Chant." And the tiger chanted. I mean, if we would do that, Hare Krishna, that would be the end of our Sankirtan career or our Grihastha career, you know. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could do this. So then Prabhupada says, we are not so powerful, but at least we have seen that in the Sankirtan movement, sometimes dogs start to chant. So let us at least make the human beings chant the holy name. And with this, you can see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I mean, he preached to the tigers and so on, giving them a process whereby which they can advance. He preached to the human beings, giving them a practical process of chanting the holy names whereby which they could advance. And I believe this is the wonderful glory of Srila Prabhupada's mission. He also gave something which is practical, which is possible for all of us to do. It's very, very hard to understand the inner feelings of Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Brindavan Das Thakur says, hesitates. I said, I really can't speak about it, but I'm trying. But what is easy is to understand the process which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given. So, I have come to the end. I must tell you, I'm very, very happy that I could give this seminar. I hope there was something for you in the seminar. It is a glorification of Panchatattva, but you know, I have a whole book on Gauranga Mahaprabhu, and this will become bigger and bigger. I really wish you a wonderful Gopunim, and I really can congratulate you all. You really have very, very, very beautiful deities of the Panchatattva. Now you also know why there is Panchatattva, five truths, because you, as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, Vande Gurun Isha Bhaktan Isham Ishavatarakam Tat Prakashamsya Tat Shakti Krishna Chaitanya Sangakam. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the spiritual masters. I offer my respectful obeisances to the devotees of the Lord, and they are led by whom? Srivas Thakur. I offer my respectful obeisances to the Lord's incarnations, who are led by Advaitacharya, correct. I offer my humble obeisances to his plenary portions, that is led by Nityananda Prabhu. Wonderful. I offer my humble obeisances to his energies, which is led by Gadadhar. Yes. And I offer my humble obeisances to the primeval Lord himself, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. I request all of you to now turn turn in the direction of Chaitanya. Just like we have heard earlier that Srivas Thakur is the shelter of the holy name, Advaita Acharya is the shelter of the Vaidhi Bhakti, the regulated devotional service. Nityananda Prabhu is the shelter of Prema, and Gadadha is the shelter of Bhava. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the shelter of Bhakti Rasa. You know, the Bhakti Rasa is your original relationship to Krishna. That you can get by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's intervention. So, here is now your meditation. Gauranga. I worship Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whose beautiful top knot of hair is bound with a string of pearls. He has a moon-like face which bears the nectar of his gentle smile. Oh, his beautiful golden body is dressed with wonderful garments. He is anointed with sandalwood and aguru pulp. And he is bedecked with various garlands and wonderful shining ornaments. Lord Chaitanya is absorbed in dancing. He is filled with ecstasy from tasting the sweetness of rasa. He is more brilliant than the god of love, and he is always served by his dear devotees. I meditate on that golden Lord Gauranga, who is absorbed in Krishna Prema, and who stands holding one hand in the benediction pose and the other pose of awarding fearlessness. I meditate on the golden Lord Gauranga, who sometimes rises both of his hands in the sky, calling to everyone, "Chant the name of Krishna." When he lifts his hands, he also lifts us out of material consciousness. Oh, that golden Lord Gauranga always chants the holy names of Krishna, Harinam. When someone calls out the names of Nitai and Chaitanya, Krishna Prema comes looking for him. Where is he? Where is he? Who just chanted Nitai Gauranga? When someone calls out the names of Nitai and Gauranga, offenses do not hinder his progress. When someone calls out Nitai and Gauranga, he soon sheds tears of ecstasy out of pure love. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, all the offenses quickly flee away. By the mercy of Lord Gauranga, the heart becomes pure and love of God fully blossoms. Because people in Kali Yuga commit so many unnecessary offenses, which are difficult to check, there is no other means of deliverance than Gauranga's name. Therefore, in Kali Yuga, I see no alternative to Sri Gauranga. This is the proclamation of the scriptures. Therefore, let us chant with our arms raised to the sky, following the Pancha Tattva. Nitai Gauranga!
Nitai Gauranga!
Nitai Gauranga!
Nitai Gauranga!
Nitai Gauranga!
Sri Advaita,
Sri Srinivas,
Sri Gadadha,
oh
Nitai Gauranga,
Gaur Premanandi Adi Aribo. Hare Krishna. So, oops. Narada Muni has a veena, and nowadays in Kali Yuga we have iron boxes. What happened? So let me thank you very much. My great gratitude goes to our Ananta Prabhu, who really is an angel of a devotee who immediately made it possible to make the seminar, who made also the pieces of paper which you got. And I know Manditangi and Moksha Ruby Intelligence is also in arranging the seminar. I don't know everyone else who made different services, but I want to thank all of you. It was a great pleasure. Purijan Prabhu always says, he's a teacher, he says, if you want to learn something, teach it. So I wanted to learn more about the Panchatattva, and you know, I had also this question, why does it say we should chant Nitai Gauranga's name to be free of offenses? But then in the purport, Prabhupada says, this means to chant Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinoda. And I understood that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears in all these forms, in different features, who are extremely powerful in uplifting the conditioned soul. And this is what I learned myself, and which put my mind to rest and my inquisitiveness to rest. So I'm very happy. I think we should now make a pause, because at 3:00 we expect guests. That is correct. So this is the official end of this seminar. I have many more seminars about Lord Chaitanya. You know, one especially, it's about 8 verses by Raghunath Das Goswami about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's called the Sri Sachi Shunvashtakam, a prayer to Lord Gauranga, which is very powerful. It always ends, when will Lord Gauranga again walk on the pathway of my eyes? I wanted to chant, to at least do one verse with you, but maybe at another time. I'm happy that at least we could cover the Panchatattva a little bit. I mean, if we would go into the pastimes, my dear devotees, fully, we would have to invite His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. And I saw him talking without effort for 5 hours or so about different pastimes. And he never stops, you know. Very, very amazing. I wish all of you a good Gopunim festival. Please know that at the Gopunim festival, the heart of Gauranga is totally open to give you all the mercy you need to become Krishna conscious. So please use that Gopunim festival to your full satisfaction. I'm hearing that our beloved and very wonderful Vaishnav Thakur Krishna Chaitraprabhu is coming to so that you can all experience some happiness in his association, and I wish you all the best.
Go premanandi ari 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 bo.
Krishna. You may leave now. Oh, get up. Thank you.